live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach, and welcome to episode 147 of Feel to the Real podcast. I am uber excited. So if you've been paying attention since Jared is gone, we've had three ladies in a row helping me co-host. So I'm excited today that we look now. The last three are going to be all men, not on purpose, y'all. I promise it just happened this way. But I'm uber excited to have this young man with us today. I promise you, he is somebody that I met maybe about like 4 or 5 years ago now. It feels like it's not been that long, but it really has been. And when I met Kennard Backman from the beginning, he has just been such an amazing person. Like his spirit, he's kind, he's humble. And I just love that he's the way that he is. Like, and I know quite a few professional football players, professional athletes, and that's not always the case. I'm gonna just say that. And so I appreciate that you are who you are, Kennard Backman. And every time I say, Kennard, I need you, I got you, what you need me to do. So I appreciate you for joining me today on this episode of the Feel to the Real podcast. And I want to give you a moment to just give us a little snippet about you. I saw your bio, I said, I'm not reading that. I'm gonna let him tell these people about him. It's extensive, y'all. I'm gonna just say he's got an extensive resume, and so I'm gonna let him tell you all. And then I'm, of course, the way that this show works is I will ask you a few questions.
Of course. So definitely glad on my end. One, Stephanie, just appreciate the opportunity. This is what I do, just as far as like, you know, wanting to give back, wanting to kind of fellowship. That's really what it's all about. Like Stephanie said, my name is Kennard Backman. So athlete and entrepreneur, originally from Atlanta, Georgia. Kind of had the typical, I guess, route from like a young minority from, just living in the inner city. Just with some of the distractions, not necessarily from always like a monetary standpoint, but just some of the distractions that come with that. Was still able to, muster up and continue to go through school, was able to get a scholarship, went to University of Alabama, Birmingham. So a lot of times you will see me with a lot of green on. So that's the Blazers. That's not Alabama, that's not Alabama Roll Tide. So
no.
Always like to let people know that.
Yeah,
I was able to get my degree, finance, did some NFL time, spent 3 years in the NFL, post that, still cutting hair. I forgot to kind of mention that, was cutting hair throughout that time. Still continued that entrepreneurship journey, decided to get my barber license when I came back home to Atlanta, and really just started really servicing the community as much as I felt possible. And that's really where me and Stephanie connected. And I know we worked it with New Breed and just doing some other stuff as well. So this is really, again, just an honor. And day to day, I know a lot of people are like, what are you doing now? And then, for me, I have a job. I don't work a job. I work in cybersecurity and still doing a lot of the philanthropic stuff that I want to do. Have a nonprofit, Innovation Pros, that still servicing as well. So really just being able to do stuff like this, Feel to the Real, like just being able to do stuff like this, even with you. So it's an honor.
I love it.
Being the first guy. So I guess that's even an honor.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate it. No. And so what I read in your bio that floored me, and I don't think you ever shared this with me, is it was 10th grade before you started playing football?
Yes, ma'am. It was 10th grade when I started playing. I was really a basketball guy, a lot of other sports, but decided to make that change. It was really a leap of faith, honestly. Always kind of talk about the potential that I had and, you know, just took that leap of faith.
Wow. And look at what God did. Okay.
It's him.
Okay.
I didn't grow up playing football or even having any experience, you know. Yeah. I just, you know, outside in the street, maybe somebody will throw a long pass and they'll say,
okay, about it. Right. No, that's amazing. That's a testament to God will make your gifts make room for you.
Oh yeah, they will. Exponential people. Like, I think people will really take you to your purpose. So yeah. With that being said, I have some awesome coaches. So I would never, you know, take that any for myself. A lot of that obviously is God. And then from that is just following that leadership and the coaching that I had.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you so much. So just since you've left the NFL, you've been doing a lot and you just kind of told us what you've been up to a little bit. I want you to kind of, because one of the things that I love about you, Kennard, is that there's this artsy side to you. And so you have this arts and culture passion. And so I want you to, if you'll just share a little bit more about what your foundation does.
Yeah, so again, Innovation Pros, it's a fine arts education nonprofit. And again, just a little bit more about myself, just really as I started growing up, I mean, I was in band. I was actually in band before, up until, you know, I decided to actually play football. I was in a marching band.
Yeah.
And before that, I was in concert band in middle school. And even before that, I played the recorder. And honestly, just being in those classes, I was immersed with a lot of people who use that side of their brain and a lot of people who decided to really want to channel that in different and express it in different areas. So I was around a lot of what people, you know, artsy people, and it just helped me really to kind of develop a learning from that aspect and understanding too, as well, that as I started to get older, that there's not as much a curriculum and structure as far as being able to translate that into actually a career path and into, you know, something that you can pass down or actually, you know, create a more than just an average living from. So, you know, with that, that kind of led me to start Innovation Pros. Initially was running like a lot of the football stuff kind of through that. So kind of separated that and actually structured this into a true like fine arts education nonprofit. And so really looking at that 7th to 10th graders is kind of like that target and really being able to cultivate and synergize that gap between, you know, where they are and where they're trying to go. So that includes barbering, audio engineering, art and design. And then we kind of bound it all together with our tech lab that's kind of really my focus right now.
Okay. I love it. No, that was when I first met you, when we first started talking and we were, you know, with Jamia and New Breed Works and stuff. And you were talking about this is where your philanthropic, like your heart is. And I was like, this is amazing. Already loving the whole, because honestly, people don't know it, but it is true. So I'm glad you have it as a part of it. That like barbering is literally an art. Like it takes an artist's eye almost to do the work, even on a just somebody who just wants a plain old, I don't know, haircut. So let me not say a temp fade. I don't know. It takes an artistry eye to see that. So I found that really fascinating and it's really cool. And I love that you are free to be, you know, that and do that and embrace that side of you, because everybody isn't comfortable with that. And I love that. So kudos to you. So, you know, you were so we have a segment called On to the Real. You are our Onto the Real spotlight probably about 2 years ago.
All right. Yeah. See, and I think, you know, with that, it's a journey. So it's a journey too. And I think that's really, you know, with anything that I like to, even kind of how, you know, you have the globe up there and, you know, right next to your head, like it's really a journey. And I think just really understanding that. And again, just always like to, for me, I always like to make sure that I humble, like make sure that everyone knows that I'm humble and making sure that, like, I mean, I'm not, this, there's nothing that I've done that you can't do, you know? And I think that's really something that I like to always make sure that I tell everyone. It could definitely be done. It's a journey too, ups and downs.
Yes. So that kind of great segue into the next question. Any advice for the guys that are playing now about how they can transition? Because you seem to have done it a little. It's been, I know it's not easy, but you've kind of done it seamlessly.
Yeah, it looks seamless. So with that, when you're transitioning, I think the first thing you have to think about, you have to be honest. I think that's, because when you're not transitioning, or like when you're in a current state, you can build up lies or false deceptions of what reality truly is.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's time to transition, the only way I think that you can really have a fluid transition is if you're honest about your current state. Because if you don't know where you're at, you're not gonna get to where you're going. So if you wanna make up these deceptions that you're ready for this, and you know what I mean, stuff that I've went through, like if you're ready for this, and I put myself out in situations and I found out that I wasn't necessarily ready for that, you know? But it's being honest though, you know, through that transition. So and spending time with yourself. So again, that once you become honest, like, okay, I need, like, football was a big, huge part of my life. And, you know, that was a big piece. But as I transitioned, I have to understand that, you know, when it comes to like the financial world or like, I didn't necessarily know as much as I thought I did, you know, and I had to be honest with myself in those aspects. You know, a lot of times our world in football is so in between the lines that sitting in this, like now I enjoy it. Like I sit in the stands now, like I have no choice. Nobody will pay me any more money to do anything for on an athletic field. So with that, I'm sitting in the stands and it's crazy that, like, you know, what my dad and, you know, some of my older, you know, family members say is that, like, I can see more sitting down than you can standing up.
So
that always comes back to me when I'm talking about that transition and being honest and understanding that, like, you know, sitting in the stands, like, I can see more than you probably can while you're going through it, while you're, you know, you're in the game. So, like, sometimes when, you know, you have these coaches that are telling you that, like, hey, you step with your left foot. But like, you know, you think that you step with your right foot, but, you know, the whole time, and, you know, the coaches, like, you know, a lot of times they don't have any reason to lie to you to tell you why you step, like, why would they tell you that you step with your left foot when you step with your right foot, if these are the coaches that obviously are trying to see the best and provide the best for you. So, you know, with that being said, understanding that there needs to be some honesty and structure in order to really elevate, you know. Because this false deception of kind of where you're at is not going to work. But then once you understand where you're at, it's not really just getting down, Stephanie. I think it's more so picking yourself up and building yourself up and putting those positive things in your life. Like, I had to recreate my habits, you know, just from like a daily perspective to get that, to maintain that, to create that positive structure, and then to continue to maintain that and reinforce that through, you know, my schedule. And that right there, it's like, okay, you'll start to see stuff throughout time, because just like you go to the mirror, you work out, you can do the best workout, the hardest workout, but you go into the mirror day one and try to flex your muscle and try to look at your body, it's gonna be like, I really look the same.
Right.
Now, if you know, maturize that and continue to do that process, you know, over time, then you'll see where you are at. And I think that's seeing that, you know, it aided to that process. So I think being honest with yourself, but then creating those positive, you know, aspects in your life that will continue to feed, that will then give you like an internal intrinsic confidence that's not needed from at any external resources, any validation from, you know, Instagram to tell you, or any comment from anybody to tell you that, like, hey man, I know you were all this in football, but like you can still be all of this out of that. And like, because you're not really going to see those. I didn't really see a lot of those comments on my, like, those the comments from when I was playing to then when I was post playing. One minimized, shrunk, completely different. So, like, you really have to start to understand that intrinsic value. And a lot of the, you know, you'll understand, I think, even the, I guess that's phase three, as far as like even getting it and kind of like accelerating it, is understanding that you really had this same intrinsic ability the whole time, because like what you were doing in football, it really translates over to the real world. But like we have to like go through that transition to be honest, to then you know, create a confidence and a foundation, and then to be able to accelerate that by kind of going back to who you are or who you were and always kind of remembering that. And I think you probably do that just, you know, like, hey, I've gotten this far. Like, look what God, because, you know, God, look what God, you know what I mean? God done brought you this far, you know.
Right.
He's not going to let you go now. So
absolutely.
I guess that's a long-winded answer to
really listen, that is an amazing answer. Because it was so many things I wanted to be like, yes, yes, uh-huh, yes, that's right. Because as a coach, what I do as a certified coach, my niche is in transition. And so this is my passion for working with athletes in the first place, right? So everything you just said, it just resonates with me. Like that, you know, let's be honest about where we are and let's be clear about where we're going. But staying in today, that's a huge thing that I'm always telling people about, staying today. And also just the you know, once you're clear about who you are outside of the sport, then it's easy to start to build those habits, like you said. And a lot of it, you just said it, it's the same thing. You learn to be disciplined as a football player. And so you just have to translate that into something that looks less on the field, but it's the same thing. Just being disciplined and being, you know, giving it your all. Obviously, to get to the level you do, you got to, you had to be someone who gave 100%, right? So it's just naturally who you are. So just finding what that thing is that you are passionate about outside of what you did on the field, and putting that kind of effort into it is, I think, that's what I love to do, is help people, help them find that. I like to work with athletes to help them get to that point, right? So
and I think it makes sense too. And the only thing that I would add to what I said and to go along with what you said as well is just, and I think I wanted to make sure I define stuff, because again, just being just trying to articulate kind of what I meant through that process. I think what I meant with those good habits is really creating that structure, because I think that's something that we valued, and we didn't know that how much we valued structure when we was an athlete. And we enjoyed being told, in a, we don't like being told,
to yep, do, but say it, told like what told to do, when to do.
You yep. did like that because that gave you structure to then complete the task every Sunday, or from your freshman year all the way to your senior year. That structure has now
absolutely
went from 170-pound receiver to, you know, now they even have you playing tight end at 220. And now you know what I mean? So it was that structure. But when you get taken out of that structure, I don't think we realize how much structure goes into it. Because, I mean, obviously there's a lot of time and emphasis from a coaching and from like a community standpoint, just from like America. Like, I don't think we realize like how much structure kind of goes into that. And then we have to emulate that same structure, you know, when we
for yourself.
Once done. And that's what I'm talking about with those habits, because that's
absolutely
habits create that structure.
Yep, because it's the discipline.
You believe where you're going if you don't have structure. But like, if you've been through something, you're like, hey, I've seen this structure before. Like I went through this through the NFL, or I went through this in a similar situation. If I can do the same structure, be honest with myself, get the criteria, it's just now it's rinse and repeat. And I think that's some of the highlights that I'm seeing just from, I guess, you know, going through my process and seeing people who go to different industries and seeing successful people or mentors. And I see that there's a process, like they're not firing from the hip. It's literally a process. And the process has now gotten so efficient that it looks like they're firing from the hip.
Right.
Like coming off so smooth that it looks like they're just, they don't have to, they can just come in front and just, I don't need anything. You know?
Right.
But it's because of that. But don't miss what got them there, though. And that's what I would say.
No, I love it. It's true. Absolutely. That's why I said that discipline, it translates. It's the same, you know what I mean? Like you have to be disciplined in order to receive the structure. And so I feel like that is absolutely what it is. And I feel like we just get to, I mean, this is the same. I say this all the time. It's the very same for someone coming out of the military. Because everything has been very structured for them as well. And so coming back to civilian life for them, they have to find their way in how do they utilize what worked for them in that setting in this new setting. And so it's a very similar situation for athletes who are leaving high level plane. So yes, thank you. Jared's gonna fuss at me because we just took so long with that, but that's okay. That was so good. And so last question, anything happening that you wanna share?
I think that's probably really about it. I think I kind of talked about it just with right now, just trying to cultivate really the programming, barbering perspective, and really with like our tech lab, and then still trying to do that just really within the nonprofit. So that's really honestly kind of what I got going personally. Nothing really else again outside of that, just really dedicated to try to put more time into doing stuff like this. Like, I mean, not even just saying that for this podcast, but you know, that's really kind of what my focus is.
Okay, awesome, love it. So now we're on to our Who's Really Bright. And you all know, since Jared's been gone, I've just been, we've been doing this whole playoffs every week. Listen, last week my heart was broken, but that's okay. When my boyfriend went down, but that's okay. everybody knows Travis Kelce is my boyfriend. Okay, so so we are now looking at the Super Bowl, and I would love to get your prediction for, obviously it is Cincinnati, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the LA Rams. So who you got?
Yeah, so one, I thought you were actually gonna say, you said your my heart fell. I thought you were gonna say Mahomes, but I guess Travis Kelce is your guy. So
yes.
Yeah, with that being said, really for me, I'm gonna go with the Bengals. Honestly, for myself, Joe Burrow, what I saw the past couple weeks, he looks prepared. He looks ready. He's people throwing that Brady-esque type, similarity at him. And I think so. I think he comes prepared every game. Like, honestly, I think it's going to be a good game. I think the defense is going to be well prepared. Yeah. The problem is just going to be, I think, kind of stopping Cooper Kupp and Sean McVay's like kind of crazy offensive kind of very crazy schemes. And
yes,
but I think if Joe Burrow can really kind of get the ball out of his hand fast, and they do some, they're gonna have to get a little bit creative, because they, I think they can't let that pass rush from their end get to them. But otherwise though, if they can get creative on the Bengals side, because, you know, they're not really that creative as far as playing style on offense. And, I mean, we know who the ball's going to. And, you know.
We know Jamar Chase is getting the ball, whatever. Yes.
And they don't really have the offensive line to support a lot of pass rush. So if they can find some creative ways, like strategy-wise, to negate that, I think Joe Burrow will do the rest for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, he's – so if – people have watched this or seen me since we started. They've been my pick the whole time, right? Every week, because until last week, because Joe Burrow reminds me of LeBron. He picks up the mop bucket and he brings everything with him. Like, I'm gonna just, get on my back. We just going, let's go, that kind of thing. And he's just a winner. And I said, any dude that's bold enough to put on a turtleneck and a iced out chain on TV, you got swag, dude. That's all I can say.
Yep.
You got swag, Joe Burrow. I love it. But I have to go with the Rams in this case, because I feel like the offensive firepower, they're more balanced. I'll say that. I feel like they have superstars on both sides of the ball. Aaron Donald, that I don't even know what to say about him. Like, so I have to be honest, it's a little biased because I want to see Matthew Stafford, Georgia boy, get him a ring. I do. I want to see it happen. So he suffered for so many years in Detroit, and I do mean suffered. so many years in Detroit that I feel like I just want him to get. Joe Burrow is going to have plenty of opportunity for this. I just want Matt. So I feel like some of this is my heart, some of this is my eyeball, right? But I do feel like they have the more balanced team. Cooper Kupp, OBJ, you know, the run game isn't the best, but they do enough.
No, I agree.
They do enough.
It'll be close. I think it'll be close.
Yeah.
It'll either be really close or it'll get out of hand.
Right. Well, see, but out of hand means nothing to the Bengals.
Exactly.
So even if they come out, even if the Rams come out and they like zoom, 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 it doesn't mean anything unless you keep your foot on the gas, because we saw what just happened last week. Hurt my feelings. Yes. So it hurt my feelings. Not to mention I was doing really well. I was like at that point 8-2 in my guesses.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're spot on.
Oh, so
you're spot on.
Yeah. So we'll see. So yeah, y'all let us know who's really right. So Kennard says that the Bengals are going to win the Super Bowl. And I say the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. So you all let us know who's really right. Real Good Topics is next. So the first topic today, which kind of shocked me, I'm not going to lie. I don't think I was expecting this. I thought he would have done it last year when Drew Brees retired, but I guess he tried to figure it out and see if he could still make it. He was trying to build Belichick thing. Can I do this without my star? And he figured out he can. So we're talking about Sean Payton leaving the Saints. He decided that he was going to put with the team. Is that a good idea or no?
I think that's more of a reality. Yeah, I think that's a reality idea. I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea, though, on both ends, because I think Sean, he got what he want, and the Saints, they can now go start fresh. Because it's kind of that similar situation, like you said, I think, between Brady and Belichick, to where the coach, like, they know, to one where nobody will ever know what went on between them two as far as like a communication aspect.
Yeah,
we just saw the results, and now we're trying to put the percentage on, you know, who it was and who it wasn't, which a lot of time for me, the players play. So, but it does take the coaching to know the player, you know, know what position to put them in. So, you know, for me, I like to say 70-30 in a sense. And I think that 30% that Sean Payton had, I think that, you know, fueled him enough to be able to get the confidence to say, hey, I can do this. This, my 30% will lead to success. And it didn't happen. I think he may have, you know, been holding on to some of his, you know, some of his pride and you know, the way he wanted to run things, and you know, even as far as like, you know, paying certain people or just where his emphasis was, you know, with like, you know, the quarterback situation and like that. I think it just got to the point to where he tried everything that he wanted to try, not everything that he could try, but everything that he wanted to try. And, you know, he was like, you know, I'm not really willing to try anything else. I know there's other options out there. I know you all probably have better options for me as the Saints, but I'm not interested in that. So, you know, I'll leave, which, you know, given the Saints fan base and just how committed they are, I'm pretty sure they would probably want that same if he does, you know, if he's not willing to do the right thing, which is the best thing for the Saints, which is winning or trying to put us in a position to win.
Right.
And you're going to choose your own, you know, selfish things over winning, then, you know, the Saints are probably like, hey, let them walk.
Yeah. That's a very interesting, I didn't think about it in like those terms. Very interesting. Cause I literally just looked at it. Like I said, like, I feel like he was like, I tried this without him. I don't like y'all that much. I'm gonna just go home. Like, I feel like, like, he just really, you know, Drew Brees was his reason for being there. Like, I feel like they were a tandem, and when that just wasn't working, he said, I don't want to do this anymore. Kind of, I feel like it was just that. I don't want to do this anymore. It's kind of to your point though, like, I don't want to try anything new. Like this, yeah. This year with the quarterback situation was bonkers. So I can't even imagine what would have come next year and trying to, I don't even, how do you make that work? Right? Like, exactly. It would have been crazy. So, yeah, I feel like good move for the Saints for sure.
Yeah, I think the same. They're not.
Yeah, good move for the Saints. And I think he's probably taking some time off. So I don't think we have to worry about looking at him like hopping right away to another team.
Oh, yeah, yeah, same. I agree. Yeah. I'm surprised.
But, I mean, the good thing for him is he knows when he's ready, he'll be able to get a job.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the same thing. Yeah, again, I don't think he tried, again, which is still kind of goes back to, I think, a little bit where I was saying, where I think, you know, he's doing it the way he wants it done. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, he's not interested. He doesn't really sound like he's interested in doing it another way or, like, waiting for anything or, like, hey, if you can give us some time, like, hey, give a little bit to take a little bit. He's like, I'm kind of here for the taking. Like, in that, given my tenure and how much time I feel like I got left, you know, I'm here for the taking. So, like, anything that's talking about, you know, give this in order to, you know, mm-hmm. I probably need to go to the organization then that's going to give me everything that I want, or I made a lot of money. You all know I made a lot of money. Right. Y'all will continue to make money. We can just part ways.
Yep. No, I agree. All right. So we're going to stay in the same vein of leaving. And obviously the big news this week, well, so much big news this week, but I think for football fans, for sure, maybe sports fans in general, definitely. Tom Brady announced his retirement. And lots of well wishes, great words from, you know, people he's played against, played with, even Bill Belichick, Mr. Frosty himself, had kind words. So, gave him his props finally. what does this look like for football? The man holds just about every record you can think of.
So. Yeah, I think, again, I think hinting at the earlier piece of the conversation, it's time for a transition.
Yeah.
The game is just going to trend. It's truly going to, you know, transition. I think when you have some of those monumental pieces that mm-hmm. have made the game and have made you a lot of money, have made the America a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's when they leave, like, you know, when Michael Jackson, when certain people like leave the game, whatever the game that is, like, it's going to shake it up.
Absolutely.
And, you know, with that, I think this is going to give value of, like, kind of where the NFL is at. Because, again, Tom Brady may have been the reason why the NFL has progressed as much as it has. And he could be the reason why there are certain limitations for, you know, why he's there. So with him being gone, you know, again, it's going to get honest. Everything is going to get exposed, I think. Not everything, but I think there's going to be a lot that's going to get exposed and uncovered. Because a lot of discussion is going to happen. Because when things are going smooth, and like when Sean is the coach and Sean Payton, and you've got Drew, and everything's going good. When things are, you know, nobody's asking anything. Nobody knows what's actually going on between the two or what's going on between, you know, Tom Brady. Is he talking to the NFL? Is he making rules with it? I mean, we don't.
Right. No, like, for real.
That if he talks though to the NFL, he probably has some visibility or insight or say so, given a lot of this kind of funnels through him. I hate to, you know what I mean?
It does. Like, no, I feel that. Yep.
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, he's able to make coaching decisions,
personnel decisions,
you know, so I don't see why it stops there, considering his commitment to the game and what he's committed to do. So it'll be definitely a transition.
Yeah, no, I feel that. And I feel, so he's been the face, I will say that, the face that the NFL likes to put out there for years, right? And so now I'm curious to see, well, who it may be Joe Burrow. I don't know. He might be a little swaggy for y'all. Joe mm-hmm. Burrow might be that dude. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, who is it going to be? Patrick Mahomes? Like, who's going to be that face that you put out there? It's, and I'm just curious to see what happens all around. I feel like his words were kind of where my head was about this, and because he said that he wanted to have let these young guys have their chance and their time to like really push things in the direction that they want to see it. And I feel like that's what's happening. And now I'm drawing a blank. Who did the Chiefs play the week before they played the Bengals?
Was it the Bills?
Yes, it was Josh Allen, the Bills. Maybe Josh Allen. Because he's definitely, you know what I mean? Like he gives that vibe that you would get from Tom Brady to me. I don't know. Joe Burrow, I don't know. Anyway, if they're ready for it, then I'm here for it. But I don't know that they're ready for it.
Yes.
But because in that game between the Bills and the Chiefs, that was what people were saying. We're looking at the next Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
like that's what we're about to get from them. And you throw Joe Burrow in, he might be a Tom Brady or Drew, even though they're not the same stature, but a Drew, maybe, you know what I mean? Like you could get those three greats that have just kind of back to back to back left the game out of these guys, and just watching them grow in the maturation. And I would love to see some more, I'm gonna just say it, African-American representation on that level. So if it's Patrick Mahomes, I'm all for it. Who is it? But it's just going to be interesting to see.
Same. Definitely.
Yeah. All right. So this story was interesting. So backstory for me, Calvin Johnson is one of my favorite people. And his decision to leave the NFL, he was really clear in his Hall of Fame speech about this as well, was about his pain management and the options the NFL was offering him versus what he thought would be best for him. And so he decided to leave because he was not willing to do the things that the NFL wanted him to do. And so the NFL is now, I guess more people are coming out again, kind of in this realm. I know on I Am Athlete, the podcast, Al Harrington was on there about 3 weeks, maybe a month ago. And, you know, that's his whole thing. Hemp, cannabis, all of that is his thing. And he wants to build homes using hemp. Like, I think it's so cool, so dynamic, all of this stuff, that innovative ways that, you know, he wants to use it. So all of that to say that the NFL has commissioned two research groups to study the effect of cannabis on pain management and neuroprotection from concussions. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, I like that Calvin's putting in really him out here. I know there's a couple other athletes too that are behind this as well. So it's just really good to see people actually take the time to actually do the education. So from an education perspective, that's something that I like, because, you know, there's not really enough education around it. Just a lot of common like misconceptions.
Absolutely.
You know, and then just behind that, being able to now like have the education, and then like people are willing to kind of put their own money behind it to activate it, which is also good too. So from Calvin and hearing it from people who actually went through it, like, I mean, it's just an eye opener. So like, this gives another layer of, in a sense, complication. But that, as far as like maybe achieving or just another layer, really, it's really just another layer of discovery in a sense. I wouldn't even say complication. Mm-hmm. This is another layer of discovery that really the NFL, that society can kind of use. To now use this toward, you can use this discovery and this the findings from that discovery to really channel it to a lot of different things, not just through the NFL. So
yeah,
I think it'll be very good. I think the NFL will find a way to monetize off of it.
Of course they will.
that's a good reason why they want to do the study as well. So they may try to partner with different people. I mean, this just leads down to a lot of different paths, but I just want Calvin to, you know, make sure that he gets his credit and yes. run everything. Like, I just like that he's actually doing it. And you talked about that podcast with Iron Athlete. I know that there's a lot of people that come on there too as well that discuss some of those topics too.
So I love this. I was happy to see that they commissioned this. Not surprised, because like I said, I think the buzz is more around this now, especially even though it's been some some years with this opioid addiction, but because of the epidemic that it's caused, and how do you justify using them if you know it's highly addictive? You know what I mean? So finding, I think it just is this evolution, the natural evolution that's happening of the way that we're looking at cannabis, period. We always say this, that the NFL and pro sports is like a microcosm of the world.
Yeah.
So what you see happening is kind of what's happening across the board anyway. Figuring out, how do we make this, like you said, monetize this? How do we make this work for us is what people are trying to figure out. This is just like prohibition, when people couldn't drink alcohol and it was illegal till they figured out how they were going to make their money off of it. Once they figure that part out, I think it'll be all good. But I like the part that was surprising to me was the neuroprotection from concussions. I'm curious to see what that part comes back, what that looks like, what their findings are on that, because I don't think I ever thought about it from those terms. And I'd be curious to know what the association is.
No, same.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know what that is. All right, so our last real good topic today, it probably has usurped Tom Brady at this point as far as the big news in the NFL right now. And it is Brian Flores, the former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, has filed a lawsuit against the NFL. And he is claiming that there are discriminatory practices in their interview process. And has also accused the team he was working for, and I think another, the Denver Broncos as well, of asking him to throw games. Now, before this podcast, Jared sent me an article where apparently, I can't think of his name, the owner of the Miami Dolphins actually bought into one of the betting companies. So this is looking real ugly if you're asking this man to lose games. And then the other piece of his complaint is about asking him to bring in certain players. And so yesterday they said it was Deshaun Watson. Today they say it was Tom Brady. Either way. So he came out with his suit. So I just want to say, all of this is allegations. We don't know if any of this is true as of yet. And I don't know how they're going to handle figuring it out. Each one of the teams that has been accused has come out and vehemently said, this is not true. Of course, what would we expect them to say? But this is what they've said. If Brian Flores is telling the truth, well, I know one part of it, I'm not doubting the one part at all, that there's discriminatory practices in the interview process. Eric Bieniemy doesn't have a job. That's all I have to say on that. I feel like if this is true, he deserves so many kudos, because this was a bold move. And it's some old heads, Lord, y'all don't be offended by me calling you that, but you are. Some old heads who have been holding their peace all of this time, who jumped on board once he came out. Hugh Jackson and Marvin Lewis have both, since he filed this suit, they have both come out and corroborated that these are their experiences as well. They have no fight in the game. I don't know that either one of them is looking to coaching the NFL again. Brian Flores, of course, a little younger, would like another job. So, you know, whatever. And I'm still trying to figure out why he got canned in the first place. I don't understand that, other than he wouldn't do. The only thing that makes sense is he wouldn't do what you wanted him to do. Because they were, I can't even remember what their record was before he took over, but they almost made it to the playoffs. Like, really?
That makes sense. And yeah, I think this is kind of, again, is like you said earlier when you spoke on it, is really a microcosm again of what's really going on in the world. And I think, you know, even like particularly the past couple of years with the pandemic and with, you know, shaking the world up, I think there's been a lot of like inclusion. We talked about diversity and inclusion, and there's a lot of, you know, skepticism around, you know, how things are going about, like, why are these companies even jumping on board and creating these, you know, these departments and saying that they're going to do this. And, you know, I think we're kind of seeing this a little bit in the NFL where some coaches, or at least there's some talk to where they're trying to make it to where there are more, you know, black coaches in the NFL. And I think, you know, with this Rooney rule that they tried to put in place. And again, it's just like, again, like, why? Just kind of, again, thinking about the structure of it, it just makes you ask that why question. But I think from our end, I mean, I think that's just, I like pushing the conversation forward. So it is, like, for Brian, I mean, it's a microcosm, I think, of really, truly of what we kind of went through, you know, just what our country, just really being, you know, African-Americans, and really, I guess, the responsibility that you have on a daily perspective on pushing that when you have the ability to push it.
Right.
Everybody, we all have our own stuff. Everybody has jobs, you know, everybody has bills, you know, so bills and time. Everybody always says they don't have time, or, you know, I got bills, so I don't got money. So
right.
People decide to, you know, put their jobs on the line and decide to do that. Yeah. I think it's very powerful, and it is very impactful, you know, when you have people like Hugh Jackson, people who follow behind, and other people who say that that's kind of what they care about. So
it's
good. I mean, obviously I want the best for Brian. Not sure, you know, when you do stuff like this, I mean, you don't do this expecting the outcome of getting your job back. I guess monetary outcome or anything from like Colin Kaepernick. You're not doing that. That may be, you know, succumb from that. But I'm glad that he's pushed it.
Yeah, no, I think this was a good thing on his part. And I said this to Jared. I say he's essentially blowing the NFL wide open right now, because now some things that have, we're finding out some more things from the top that don't look so good, you know what I mean? And these owners. And so for me, I hope that this gives opportunity for maybe conversation around that. Like, how do we diversify ownership now?
Yep.
That's what I hope comes from this. How do we diversify ownership? You know, yeah, we got one black head coach in the NFL out of 32 teams right now. And it's, I think, five openings. Started with nine, and four have already been hired. None of them are black, so we still at one. I'd like to see that change, but I feel like the bigger change, the one that'll be the most impactful, is to see some ownership, people of color in ownership.
No, I agree.
Yeah, so I hope that happens. We'll see, but, you know, Brian Flores, whatever your intention, reasoning behind this, you definitely opened Pandora's box. So we will see what comes of this. So we're on to our real roll call, my favorite part of the entire show, because we get to answer these questions rapid fire kind of thing. And so we'll just jump right in. So USFL is back.
Like,
is it going to last this time?
I'll say yes, but not at the level that I think that they're playing.
Okay. I say The only reason I would say yes, it probably will last, is they've done a good job of the personnel that they've picked up. Like, some of the coaches are big names. I just saw before we started, Jeff Fisher is now on. And they've done a better job, speaking of what we just finished talking about, of being diverse in their coaching, hires. So that in itself will probably, there are some people who are disgruntled with the NFL, this Brian Flores thing and some other things that have happened. People are, you know, so this may be pushing people in that direction. So we'll see. Who knows? So we just talked about this. Will there be any Black head coaches other than my boy in the Pittsburgh?
Tomlin.
Tomlin, yes.
Yes, there will be one more hire this year, and that's it.
Okay. Who do you think that's going to be and where?
Not sure where, but I think that they'll hire one more, and then I think that'll be it for this year.
You got any ideas of who that might be?
We talked about Hugh. He said that he would be open to coming back. There's a lot of opportunities. I mean, even, yeah, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of candidates, honestly. So I wouldn't even know who to choose from, but I believe there will be.
I think the Bucks whole assistant coaching staff need a shot somewhere. Because yep. They're all, like, they could all be head coaches somewhere, literally. Even Byron Leftwich. Like, somebody can hire this dude. Y'all like these young dudes. You know, you don't necessarily want the Todd Bowles. Go get you a young guy. Brian, you know what I'm saying? Byron is a little younger than him. Like, go do that. So, we'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll see. I love the optimism, Nard. We have a mental health moment today. You all know this is my big passion. This is like purpose for me, is seeing athletes whole and happy. And that's why I do what I do. But from a mental health standpoint, we're all so fragile. And so I'm always concerned. And so today we're talking about Ben Simmons. He has kind of quietly stayed in the background this whole season. You haven't really seen him much. He does not practice with the team, does not participate any of the team things. He's been very vocal and very honest about his desire not to be there with the 76ers anymore. So the deadline's coming up on the 11th. And so apparently he's been working out, but not working out with like trainers. Like, he's been seen in gyms around town, you know, playing with like Dion Waiters and some people, just pick up ball kind of stuff. Just trying, I guess, keep himself in some semblance of shape. But he's just standing in the dark to avoid the mental anguish. This is the sad part. This is why this is our mental health moment. He says he's staying in the dark to avoid the mental anguish that being at practice or doing anything publicly can bring. He is seeing a therapist, so kudos to him for that, as part of what he's doing. But it just breaks my heart that we are in this society where someone has to feel like they've got to be a recluse, essentially, in order not to be ridiculed and put in bad situations. It's really sad. What are your thoughts, Kennard?
Yeah, yes, definitely. Sim, you know, again, my condolences to Ben while he's going through stuff like that. Anytime anybody goes through any type of, like, you know, again, like I told you, it's up and down just as far as, you know, your journey. So, you know, right now he's kind of like, in a valley in a sense. So, I know what that feels like. Sometimes, I think I don't even get too, you know, maybe not get too down on it, because he may just be saying he's in a valley. And I think a lot of times people don't acknowledge that. So for him to say that, like, you know, this is making him feel this way.
Yeah.
It may take everybody for surprise, but it may be because, you know, he's, again, seeing a therapist and he's a little bit more confident. you know, and kind of who he is. And he's just verbally saying that, you know, but I think a lot of other people could potentially say that they're experiencing the same thing on a day-to-day level. But now if they're willing to say that, you know, I'm not sure. And I think, again, given his title and his occupation, everything is heightened. Like when he gets pulled over, it's heightened. When he goes to the store, it's heightened. If he steps on his foot, anything is heightened. So he may not be in the depths of Valley. And I think that's, but you know, he may not be in there, but I think he's also acknowledging too that, you know, there are, even from like a social media and from just like, he's also like, you know, letting us know too as well, just giving us enlightenment of like, you know, what that looks like to him on a day-to-day basis, or hinting at where it comes from. So even the fact that he's able to detail where that comes from already lets you know that, like, you know, I think he's I think this is definitely a strategic move. I think this is something he's probably been dealing with for years. He's probably just now getting to the point where he's able to do this. And I think now we're seeing the back end of it, which is probably really, well, for him, he might have probably, man, he probably said, man, this probably been the happiest point of my life from 16 to 26. It'll probably be right about now. He's probably, I mean, I'm just thinking about him. He might be, I mean, I'm assuming, but he may be in the happiest, like the freest state, to where like, he's like, wow, I don't got practice. Like,
right.
I don't got like, it's happy. Like, it's such a happy space being a normal person. He has to live up to anything, you know, and coming in every day, and like everybody, it's a microscope on you the minute you walk through the door. So from the trainers to the coaches to everybody, they're asking, why are you walking like that? Are you sick? Are you like,
Are
you eating that today? Are you just made at home? Do you need more food? Like,
oh my gosh. Like,
I just want it, you know, but he probably does, you know what I mean? So I think that's kind of my thought on it.
No, I love it. And I love the point that you make about him. And so for him, I will say, like you, kudos for being willing to, not only that you were self-aware, that you, even if it took you going through some therapy, to be aware that you are in this space, but then being bold enough to say it out loud, like, no, this is where I am. And that doesn't typically happen. So kudos to him for that as well. All right. So our feel good final thought today, this was the absolute, so I'll tell you, Kennard, this is we have a barometer for our feel good final thought. Either it is going to cause us eyeball sweat, or we are going to smile. So for me, this one kind of did both, but it was happy eyeball sweat. It wasn't sad eyeball sweat. So this one, I saw it and I promise you, it's sad to say, I probably shouldn't admit this, but I watched it probably about 5 times just because it was so darn cute. So the Detroit Pistons surprised their players, I think it was last week, could have been the week before, by having their children on the big screen announcing each one of the starters. Oh, it was so cute. And to see their faces, because they weren't expecting it. And so as each one stood up after the first one and then the second one, and they stood up and they were just smiling, you could see like pride beaming out of each one of them as they watched their kids. Some of them, the kids so little, you can barely understand what they was. It was so cute though. It was so cute. It was like definitely a feel good moment for sure. For sure.
Yes. So I think that's awesome. Like, I'm just trying to think if I had like a really good feel good moment, but I really think that would top. That tops it, because like even how you said, it was really to kind of extract, like you said, that pride, like you said, just falling out of them. And that's beautiful.
Yes, it was oozing. You could just see it as they looked up and they were looking at their babies, introducing them, and the smiles on their face. It was priceless. I said, this is the best thing ever. So it had to be the feel good final thought.
Yes.
It had to be. All right, so our final segment is show picks. And I don't know if you all heard all the stuff that Kennard has going on in his life. So we're not going to even ask you what you're watching, because we know you don't have time for that, right?
Yeah, I'm watching a good bit of podcasts. That I'm Athlete podcast is something that I'm heavy on with Brandon Marshall.
Yes.
Watching that. I know they have like that Pivot podcast. So
yes, that's so good. Yes, both of them are really good. Yeah.
In and out of power for a minute. So I know that everyone's kind of hopped back on the power. So like apparently it must be good. So that'll be my next show pick.
Okay. All right. And so my show pick is a movie. Funny that we brought this person up earlier. It's a movie called Home Team. I think it's either, I can't remember if it's Prime or Netflix. I believe it's Amazon Prime, but either way, it is actually the story of Sean Payton for the year he was suspended from the NFL. And he went and coached his son's football team.
Okay, yeah.
And, so, yeah.
I've heard about that. So yeah. I need to go watch it.
So the good thing is Adam Sandler produced this movie. So you already know it's humorous. It's not serious. Yep. And Kevin James is playing Sean Payton. So anybody who knows who Kevin James is, know this is stupid. He is hilarious. This is a great movie. It was really one of those feel good movies. They didn't make it too heavy. I mean, it was some heavy stuff, but it was real light the way that they presented it. And so it was really good. And so I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did. I was like, am I going to watch this about Sean Payton? But when I saw it was Kevin James and Adam Sandler had actually produced it, I said, oh, I got to do this. Gotta watch this. So yeah. So, all right. Well, thank y'all for joining us for another one. Episode 147 of the Field to the Real podcast. So as always, we appreciate you all for rocking with us. For those of you who are always supporting us and always there, we so appreciate it. We also encourage you all to interact with us. You can email us at field2therealpodcast@gmail.com, at Twitter at field2therealp1. IG is at field2therealpodcast. Facebook and YouTube are just like you see it behind me, Field to the Real Podcast. And please, please, please like, share, comment on our YouTube page. We want to hear from you all. We want to get your opinions. We got a week. Like you'll see this, hear this, or see this within tomorrow and next week. So you got time to get your Who's Really Right vote in before the Super Bowl actually happens. And so I hope that you all will continue to rock with us. Don't worry, Jared will be back. As I told you all last week, Drew, Isaiah, Burgess was born. And so he is doing daddy duty right now. And so we will see him in about 3 weeks. But don't leave us, continue to rock with us. And we will talk to you soon. Peace. Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.